This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chaz. When I want to listen to a show with practical information from an everyday guy who can't carry a cop just like me, I listen to my good friend Bob Main. Now on with the show.
Hey everybody, Bob Main here, episode 429 of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Sitting with me in the Handgun World mobile studio, we just got done shooting at the range, I got Dr. John Adine. Welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys. It's always fun to talk to your audience and to hang out with you for that matter and do some shooting.
Yeah, we shot for about an hour and a half. We did some marksmanship drills, some up drills, some, you know, I call them number drills where one of us calls out numbers on the targets. And we kind of try to catch each other off guard a little bit.
Yep, no, it was good. And we both ran some Glocks, and I even ran a revolver for part of it.
You did well with your revolver. Yeah. Smith & Wesson 686 4-inch barrel.
That's right.
You're smoking with that thing.
Well, I took your class with that thing, too, a year ago.
You did.
So that was fun. And I enjoy using the revolver because I think it really reinforces your trigger press.
Yes.
And so it makes you a lot better on a semi-auto when you run that long trigger press on a revolver.
Yeah, it certainly does. And you mentioned we were running some Glocks. So we'll talk about a little bit about that, and then we'll get into the main topic here in just a minute. So I got to confess, I broke a promise. I did make it 9 months throughout this year before buying a gun. I made it 9 months, but I had to take home a Glock Gen 5. And you got to shoot it, John. I put the first couple magazines. You notice any difference?
Yeah, I think the trigger is a little bit better. I think it runs pretty well. It's got the same old sights on it. So, you know, that's one of the complaints that people have. Although you can get Ameriglow sights with it.
I'm going to put Trijicon HDs on it, though.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good choice. I think, you know, the nice thing is it's still a Glock, and so you can get parts and holsters and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of aftermarket stuff for it. It's got some nice new features that Bob did a video on today, so you will be able to see that.
That's going to be in my public channel, too, not just the Shooters Club. So anybody that wants to can go to my public channel. By the time you hear this podcast, I'll have it up there. And also, last week, if you didn't catch last week's episode, I spent about 20 minutes reviewing it as well.
Yeah, and if the video's too shaky for you, you can blame me for that. That was me holding the camera, so...
Yeah. You need to go to professional cameraman school.
Yeah, well, I need a tripod then. That's the thing. I was holding it freehand, so... It wasn't too bad. I think I managed to keep you in the frame most of the time.
They don't teach any camera work in medical school?
Oh, sure you do. Yeah, you do a lot of camera work. Yeah, I take a lot of pictures when I do...
Then stuff. What happened?
Well, I can rest my elbows on things when I'm, you know, when I'm in the OR. But doing this stuff standing next to you, it's a little bit different.
Well, all right, so let's get into the main topic. You had a chance. Was it last weekend or the weekend before?
It was a couple weekends ago. It was.
You went to Pauli Palooza in Garrettsville, Ohio, Paul Carlson's home range. So, for the people who don't know, tell them what is Pauli Palooza.
Pauli Palooza is a fundraiser weekend, and it's for Paul Gomez, who passed away from complications of diabetes. He was an instructor, and I'm not sure whether it was law enforcement or not, but he was very well liked amongst the firearms training community, and a lot of people really have stepped up to help his kids. And so Pauli Palooza is a two-day fundraiser, but it's a training event as well. And so trainers come from all over the country, and as do the participants. There's a limited number of people, and basically you pay some money to train with like Rob Pincus or Tom Givens or William April, Chuck Haggard, Greg Elifritz.
Elifritz was there?
Oh yeah, he gave his bombing talk, which Ben, when Ben heard it, he was shaken by it, and I can understand. Now, having heard it myself, how that was pretty...
I'm going to go to that Attack Con next year if he teaches that Attack
Yeah,
Con.
It's very well worth going to. He teaches you how to recognize... Well, he teaches you the components of a bomb, how to recognize some of the things, that are out there that maybe you may see in your neighborhood. you know, certain clues that somebody's making a bomb, and that you can tip off the law enforcement so that they can, you know, get in there and interdict. And also, you know, the other scary thing is a low explosive bomb like the fuel fertilizer bombs, their velocity is about 8,000 feet per second, but the high explosive stuff like Semtex and C4 is like 35,000 feet per second.
Wow.
And so the shrapnel and the projectiles that come off of those bombs are just screaming. And he actually showed an interesting video from, it looks like, the Middle East somewhere, where they were blowing up a ammo dump about a half a mile away. And these guys were up on a balcony of a hotel. They were in their flat gear and everything. And when they blew it up, the shrapnel was there almost instantaneously, and it peppered hopefully nobody got hurt, but I know somebody got hit with some stuff.
Yeah.
And hopefully that, you know, they had the plates, you know, that stopped it. But it was pretty dramatic and really shows you the amount of power and the velocity behind the debris that comes off of these bombs. And then, of course, he talked about, you know, recognizing a bomber, you know, and then... Also, the other scary thing is if you're close enough to head shoot one of these guys and the bomb goes off, you're done.
You're toast.
Yeah, you're toast.
You're history.
Yeah, within 50 feet of those vest bombs, it's 100% kill rate. And you can't get out of the way of those things. You know, again, you can't move faster than 8,000 feet per second to get, even if it's a Semtex bomb, it's, you know, 3,000 feet per second. So, or 30,000 feet per second, or whatever.
Okay, so Polypalooza is a fundraiser. All these instructors get together. It benefits. That's a really cool concept.
Oh, it is a great concept. This was the fourth one. So this
was the fourth annual.
This is Polypalooza 4, and they have them about every other year.
Okay, so every other year.
Yeah.
So you, this is a lot like a TACCON. So you've just told us a little bit about what you learned. Talk about some other things you learned.
Well, you know, the first thing I did was I did a 4-hour class with Rob Pincus, his combat focused shooting, and it's kind of his basic stuff. And I've done his class. I did his class back in 2013, and so it's kind of a refresher. It's good stuff. You know, it's point shooting. It's target focus. It's, you know, trigger presses. It's using, you know, your doing decision making. It's all that kind of stuff. And it's a little bit different kind of shooting and moving than what you do, in that it's kind of a basically an athletic step one direction or another, and
yeah.
and while you're drawing the gun and then shooting, and it's, you know, balance of speed and precision, different distances, different speed,
and that's important.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, and you want to make your hits. You don't want to miss. You know what they say. You know, you can't miss fast enough.
That's true.
So, I mean, you got to make your hits. That's the most important thing. And every instructor worth his salt will tell you that is the most important thing is time and making your hits. And you can't miss. You know, you and I both did Tom Givens. That was his thing. You know?
Wasting time.
Yeah, you can't waste time. And missing is wasting time.
Missing is wasting time. I've said this many times on my show. That was one of my biggest takeaways from Tom's class.
Right.
Is you got to stop wasting time. And there's a lot of ways that we waste time when we're shooting.
Yeah, and a lot of it's, you know, making decisions, and trying to process what you're seeing, and get away from the "I can't believe this is happening" to "crap, this is going down bad. It's time to intervene and do what you got to do."
And that's how people end up wasting a lot of time, right there.
Right.
I can't believe this is happening. Oh wow, it is happening, and it's going down right now.
That's right. And you don't have the time to be making those thoughts. You have to be moving, and you have to be, you know, getting ready to defend yourself from whatever's going to happen. And that's, you know, and this is why we take training. This is why we do training. This is why I am the ultimate training junkie.
Let me talk about that. You pulled out your log, and I think we roughly calculated this year, 2017, you've got like about 160 hours.
Right. I have well over 600 hours since 2010. And most of it's backloaded in the last three or four years.
Yeah, this year, I think this year alone is about 160, something
yeah,
like that.
I mean, it's you know, and...
That's unbelievable, John.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I have the resources, and it's nice to be able to... And for me, not only is it training, but it's also social stuff.
Yeah,
and also it's, you know, it's Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. It's for me, I get a chance to get out there and introduce people to DRGO, what it's all about, and what we do. And, you know, and so I hand out a lot of DRGO business
cards. You should.
And so, you know, and I say, look, you know, even if you're 32 years old and you haven't seen a doctor in 10 years, sooner or later, you're going to see a doctor. You may have a friend that's a nurse, or you may have, you know, somebody you know maybe in the medical profession. And you know, we're looking for people who are like-minded people to get out there and to, you know, to participate in what we do. And we do a lot of education. We do some politics stuff, but, you know, we advocate, but we're not, you know, for one particular candidate or anything, but we did our, you know, our Hearing Protection Act, you know, white paper talking about why, you know, suppressors are a good thing. And we're going to be passing that out at Gun Rights Policy Conference. So if you're going to be there in a few weeks, look me up. We'll be passing that out.
It'd be nice if we can get a lot of doctors behind the Hearing Protection Act.
Yeah.
That'll be nice. I mean, especially like ENT doctors. Well, you know, those would be the greatest ones to be promoting that.
Right. Well, Tim Wheeler is an ENT doctor.
He's an ENT doctor, yeah.
The guy that founded Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. And he has a hard time even with his
constituents?
Well, with his, you know, professional organization.
Really?
Yeah, because
that's what I meant when I said that.
Yeah, it's political.
Wow.
And so that's a, you know, a potential difficult issue.
I'll be at GRPC, and this podcast is going to come out 2 weekends before GRPC. So Gun Rights Policy Conference in Dallas. I have to go there. It's only 4.5-hour drive.
Right, and hopefully we're carpooling up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I and Ben probably get in the vehicle and
drive up there. Yeah, we have fun when we do the road trips. Those are always fun.
Yeah.
But, and it's the weekend of the 29th, 30th of September and October 1st. So it's Friday evening, all day Saturday, and half day Sunday.
Right.
And then there's also on Friday during the day is a podcaster.
Yeah, I'll be there for that.
Yeah, and so, you know, and I'm going to be there too because, you know, I participate in a podcast that I want to...
You participate so much, you might as well just be a host.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one thing...
Act like a host.
Well, DRGO may be looking at doing something like that.
Hey, that'd be good, a DRGO podcast?
Yeah, and also, we're going to be unrolling our 2A provider directory thing too. We're starting to get that off the ground, so we're going to have... a Second Amendment-friendly doctor directory.
Nice.
Now, it's going to be spotty at first because we can't cover everyone, but hopefully as our organization gets bigger and bigger, we'll be able to find more and more 2A doctors.
I wonder who the host of the DRGO podcast will be.
Oh, it's not going to be me, no.
What? Come on, yeah, no.
We'll see. I don't know. I think we still have some work to do on that, but I mean, again, you know, we're looking at different ways to reach out and to educate and to provide a forum for our like-minded doctors
to
get out there.
I'll tell you this very seriously. I didn't know until just now that was a possibility. If you need help producing it, I'll help you.
Oh, great. I appreciate that.
No problem with that.
All right.
So we'll get that going. So let's get back to Polypalooza for a minute. So
right.
what else happened up there?
Well, yeah, I did a couple other courses. I did a revolver course, you know, kind of a snubby somebody's revolver class with a member of the Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, Dr. Sherman House, who is a dentist, and he has been a revolver guy for years and years and years, and so he taught that class. That was the last thing we did, and Paul Carlson took that class with us, and it was a lot of fun. It was a good refresher, and you know, running those little pocket revolvers is much different than running that 686. They're a lot smaller sight radius, smaller sights. I ran my LCR and I ran a Model 36 Smith & Wesson. So I kind of split them up.
I need to take a class like that with my 642.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, you have to learn how to load and unload. And you know, all those are skills that unless somebody really shows you, it's important to, and just get that learning curve down.
And you taught me some things about loading a revolver today while we were at the range.
Right, right. You know, and I learned those from Grant Cunningham because I took his class 2 years ago. Oh, another reason to go train,
hey,
right?
Another reason to go train,
there
right.
We go.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was on Paul Carlson's home range where we were at in Garrettsville a few weeks ago.
We should talk about training more. You and I never talk about training.
No, we never do.
So, you know, we...
And we never hang out at training either,
and
right?
We never hang out at training. Now, we should emphasize that a lot more.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we need to really talk about how important training is. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, they get their license, you know, from the state that says you can carry a gun.
Oh, man.
And they think that they've got all they need. And it's interesting how when states go away from that... the trainers actually get busier because people go, you know what, I have this responsibility. I need to learn about what I'm doing.
And they think that the state course was responsibility and that it was all they needed.
Right.
And it was barely the tip of the iceberg of what they needed. And you're right. When a state goes away from that, it seems like the instructors get busier.
Yeah, and I think it's because, you know, by and large, the concealed carry and the gun community are responsible people, and they don't want to do something that's going to harm innocents. They want to do the right thing. They want to have responsible gun ownership.
Here's something I have always wondered. Maybe you can weigh in on this. You know, in every state in the United States, you have to have a state-mandated driver's license. You have to take a course one time to get that driver's license. But does it make anybody a better driver?
No, but it's the same thing as the concealed handgun license, as it basically teaches you the rules. And you may have to demonstrate your ability to do certain things. But yeah. They don't take you out on the highway and run you at 75 miles an hour in traffic.
Yeah, they also don't take you out in rush hour
right. With
a bunch of crazies going. And so my point is that the driver's license doesn't really make you a better driver. So how can anybody really think that the state-mandated course is going to make you a good enough shooter?
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, you know, a lot of the people, you know, I've sat in on some of these classes, you know, as a range officer and stuff, and some of the people have never shot their gun before. It comes out of the box.
They put
the magazine in and they shoot. They've never shot a gun before, and they're still able to manage to hit the target with a little bit of encouragement.
So we're all supposed to believe that someone who's never shot a gun before shows up for a class and shoots 40 or 50 rounds and they're good to go.
Yeah, no. No.
We're supposed to believe that.
No. And you know, and as you and I both know, that, you know, we don't rise to the occasion. We sink to the level of our training.
Yeah.
If we can get to there, we're probably below that even.
A better way to say that is you're going to do what you practiced, and you might not, in fact, you probably won't do what you practiced very well at all.
No, you probably do it, you know, 60% of what you could do.
Exactly.
So, but if you're good, you hopefully you're good enough. But you know, and you know, there are stories out there of people who, even despite that, manage to defend themselves, even though they've never shot their gun in 5 years.
There's no doubt about that. There are stories of private citizens who do prevail, even if they've not had any training. Those are out there, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, I prefer not to risk that. I've spent too many years learning to do what I do to develop both of my skill sets, my doctor skill set and my firearm skill set. And, you know, I don't want...
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have your skill sets, you know, and you have to have those tools available. And, yes, you may be able to put a screw in with a screwdriver, but you better make sure you're picking the right screwdriver. You better, you know, the person who does it all the time is not going to scratch it up and mar the wood, all that kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, so...
Well, like anything else, there's a right and a wrong way to build something.
Right.
And same with your shooting skills and your self-defense skills. There is a right and a wrong way to train yourself for self-defense. Now, there are a lot of good instructors out there that have a lot of good things to teach. And I'm real impressed with what you do, John, because you got a lot of well-rounded training. I mean, you've taken classes from nearly everybody out there that's offering them, and that's amazing.
I still got more on my
bucket list. You got a way to go.
Yeah, I still got more on my bucket list. I haven't done John Farnham. I haven't been out to Gunsight. I haven't done...
I'd like to do Gunsight.
You know, what's the one out in Oregon?
In Oregon?
Yeah, they used to be in Texas. Now they're in Oregon.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh.
I'd like to go to Firearms Academy of Seattle.
I've been there.
Yeah, I know
you've been there. I've been there twice. And
yeah, I'd like to go up there.
And I've done, you know, class with Kathy Jackson.
I'd like to do that too.
Yeah, she's very good. She's, you know, and so there's a lot of people out there, and you know, there are a lot of common things, but some, you know, people are better teach. You know, some people are better teachers than others. They teach things in the way that most people can grasp, and they also have alternative ways of teaching in the people that have trouble grasping the way they normally do, and so that's why having somebody who really knows how to teach is a good thing.
Yeah.
Somebody like Paul Carlson, for instance.
Paul's a fantastic teacher.
And it's because his education is in teaching. He was a math teacher, like a middle school math teacher.
Yes.
And so he knows how to do education. He knows how to teach.
And a few weeks ago when Ben and I flew up there to Ohio and we did that class and we the three of us were teaching, Ben and I were mostly students the first day. And it was a great opportunity to learn from Paul. I really enjoyed that. I picked up a lot of really good things, and that's I can't say enough about it.
Yeah, and you know, I've done Paul's class, and I can tell you that he's able to get things across to people who are different age groups. We had two teenagers in our class.
Oh, wow.
One was 15 and one was 17.
Wow.
And we had, you know, some issues because they were both new shooters.
Uh-huh.
But Paul managed to deal with those in a very safe manner. And, you know, so it's important to have somebody who knows what they're doing out there.
Yeah, it is. And speaking of Paul's class,
yeah.
November the 4th and 5th, he's coming to the great state of Texas to teach critical defensive handguns. So you've taken that class. Do a quick review on critical defensive handgun.
Sure. Well, critical defensive handgun is kind of a spin-off of combat-focused shooting. Paul was a combat-focused shooting instructor for a number of years, and I think he diverged with certain things with Rob Pincus. So he, to be honest and upfront with all of his students, he did not want to call it combat-focused shooting. So because he's changed a few things, but it's basically first of all, it's you know, kind of point shooting. It's really kinesthetic alignment. It's you know, it's using your body position when you're up close. And then, you know, you use your sights when you need to use them based on your distance away, you know, how, you know, it's that balance of speed and precision type of business.
I like the way you put that, too, a balance of speed and precision.
Yeah, and that's Rob Pincus' term.
Yeah,
that's
okay,
what he,
good.
That's what he calls it. And I think that's a very, very well thought out phrase, because you have to balance your speed of shooting with the precision that you require.
Right.
You got to slow down if you have to take a headshot. When you're shooting from 10 feet into center of mass, you don't need a lot of precision. You need a lot of speed.
Yeah, 10 feet, you don't need a tremendous amount.
You don't need to use your sights.
If you're at 10 feet away and you're trying to use your sights,
you're in trouble.
You're probably doing what Tom Gibbons says, you wasting time.
That's right. Yeah. So
you wasting time.
So we do a lot of that, and then there's a lot of visualization of what's going on, you know, what the quote-unquote perpetrator is going to be like, or the aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to think different, you know, different types. It's not always the same person. It might be a female. It may be a kid. You know, you look at, you know, there's a lot of places, a lot of cities where teenagers are out there robbing people.
Unfortunately, that's true.
They're invading people's homes. And you cannot have a set thing in your mind as far as, you know, height, age,
right,
gender,
you can't,
color.
You can't prejudge the bad guy.
Right.
So you can't. So
you have to use visualization in order to do that. And then we talk about, you know, thinking on your feet and using your vision to gather information to decide whether you're going to shoot or not. And so there are some exercises where you're moving back and forth. He may, you know, give you an instruction while your back is facing. You have to turn, draw, move, you want to turn, assess, move, draw, shoot, or turn, assess, and not draw and shoot.
Because
if you're, you know, he has these targets with different colors and shapes and numbers on them, and so if it's not on your target, you don't draw. Because there are shoots and no shoots, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't want to be, the first thing is not go to your gun. You have to assess the threat first.
Yeah.
And then if you need to, then you move and draw and shoot.
This is going to be good. I'm looking forward to this class. I'm going to be a student. Good. I'm going to be a student at this class.
Yes, and so am I. And I'm going to run my revolver in this class just to train with that revolver a little bit.
You know what I think I'm going to do, at least for one of those 2 days? I'm going to use either my shield or my Glock 43.
Yeah.
No, probably both of them. As a matter of fact, the class we taught a few weeks ago at Paul's Range, several students were there They did the whole weekend with one of their small guns, like a Shield or a Glock 43.
Right.
I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you should use the one that you're going to carry.
Well, I love carrying my Shield.
Yeah.
So, and again, folks, this is November 4th and 5th, November 4th and 5th, Saturday and Sunday in San Antonio at Cedar Ridge Range. You can go to handgunworld.com. You can find the link there, or you can go straight to Paul's Safety Solutions Academy website. Either one, you'll find it there.
Yeah. In fact, your website will take you to Safety Solutions Academy.
Yep.
Because I just did it yesterday.
It worked.
Or maybe it was this morning. I can't remember. But I signed up for it because
good.
I really want to, you know, I really want to train with Paul. Paul's an excellent instructor, and he's a great guy. And I tell you, just to meet and hang out with Paul for the weekend is worth the money.
Oh, and let me give you some firsthand experience about Paul Carlson. He makes a mean steak dinner, man. I mean, he made a steak dinner for Ben and I when we were up there, when we got there on Friday. Wow. That was one of the best steak dinners I have ever had. It's awesome. I don't know if we can get you to cook like that when you come to San Antonio, but that was an experience.
Yeah. And in fact, he sent me to a good steak place the last night, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, in Ohio. He had to clean up the place and close up, but otherwise I think I probably would have been eating with him. But he sent me to a real nice place there in Warren, Ohio.
Well, this was good stuff, John. Take the last few minutes here to promote what you're doing out there.
Well, you know, Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, we're an organization of healthcare professionals and not healthcare professionals, as a matter of fact, too.
You don't have to be a doctor to join.
No, you don't have to be a doctor to join. And
you can be a nurse, or you can be a...
any kind of technician, EMT.
Technician, yeah.
We have a couple of lawyers who just wanted to join because they wanted to join. We have people who are not in the healthcare profession at all, just wanted to support us. And so, you know, and I think the more the merrier, you know. And we put out a blog twice a week covering a lot of the stuff that's going on in the current news. We have a Facebook page, and we usually are commenting on something. You know, like there was recently this thing where the nurse got arrested by a detective because she wouldn't draw the blood on a person who was in a car accident. Because there was no warrant and there was no paperwork or no nothing. And it turned out that the they were chasing some guy who went off the lane and crashed into this guy. He was driving a truck. And this guy was a reserve deputy in Idaho.
Wow.
So this guy was law enforcement, you know, as a second job. But because she wouldn't draw this blood without the proper paperwork, this guy put her in handcuffs.
Wow.
And
okay.
You know, this happened in Salt Lake City, in Utah. So, you know, and this is the kind of, even, you know, our nurses have danger from their patients, but now we got, you know, overzealous law enforcement, you know, basically abusing this nurse. I think there's going to be a lot of fallout from this because this was...
I hope so. I hope there's a lot of fallout for it.
In fact, the chief of police or the sheriff or whoever it was that this, you know, the patient worked for sent her a thank you note for protecting his rights. And I think that, you know, we have to understand that we have to protect the rights of our patients from overzealous law enforcement and prosecutors. Now, if there's proper paperwork, we cooperate and we do what we need to do. But,
yeah, exactly.
But, you know, if it's not there, we have to protect our patients not only from, you know, gangbangers and, you know, crazy family members and whatever else, but now we got to look at law enforcement.
So give out the website again for Doctors Responsible for Gun Ownership.
Yeah, it's Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, drgo.us. And we're on Facebook at Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, and I think we're on Twitter at drgo/SAF.
It's important that people remember .us, not .com, not .org, or
right.
.net, .us.
It's .us.
Okay.
And we are part of the Second Amendment Foundation, so, you know, we are kind of come under that umbrella, although we're independent. You know, Alan Gottlieb gives us, you know, support as far as logistics and things like that, and we really appreciate what he does for us.
And there's a way on the website for people to financially support you there, too?
Yeah, and the membership is, I think, $35.
Per year?
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's tax deductible because it's a Second Amendment Foundation.
Oh, hey, there you go.
So
that's
it's
right.
Tax deductible,
it is,
and,
yeah.
And it's voluntary. We would prefer that you give us a little money so we can get more stuff out there and be able to do more what we want to do. But we really need membership. We really need people. because people is, you know, what makes things happen. That's my kind of thing. You know, I'm the people guy.
Absolutely, absolutely. John, this is great. This was excellent. Thanks for talking about Polypalooza, because even I was, I mean, I had heard of it, and of course Paul Carlson told us about it, but to talk to somebody who actually has been there the whole weekend,
yeah,
that was good.
That was fantastic. And, you know, on Saturday night they do an auction, and you know, a lot of the big name people donated items.
Tell people what you got.
Oh, I got a course certificate for Tom Givens, Range Master, any one of his classes between now and December 2018. So
nice.
I have to figure out what I'm going to do. It's probably going to be next year sometime.
Any Givens class between now and the end of 2018?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that was good.
Nice.
And I got it for about half price.
You took the combat pistol one with me.
Right.
And
I might do the shotgun one next. You know,
that'd be kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah,
do the
fun.
Shotgun one. All right, John. Thanks again.
Hey, my
appreciate
pleasure.
It. Thanks for coming on.
All right.
Well, many thanks to Dr. John Adeen. John's an orthopedic surgeon in San Antonio, pediatric orthopedic surgeon, to be exact. So I want to finish up this episode by covering a couple things I covered last week, but I want to say them again. I'm going to be taking a break from the podcast, just a little bit of a sabbatical, not long, but just a little bit of a break after episode 450. And I'm looking right now for guest hosts. So if you would like to take a podcast or two, take an episode or two, and be a guest host for the Handgun World podcast, let me know ASAP, voicemail me, or email. I need to kind of figure out what the next chapter in my life is going to be, folks. After everything I've been through in the last 4 years, fighting my cancer, and then most of you know, with my wife battling ALS for 4 years and then passing on and things like that, I've come to a point where I need to figure out what the next chapter is going to be. And I'm going to keep doing the podcast, as I've always said, but I just kind of need to take a break from it for a while and just think. And that's going to probably do me a lot of good. So let me know if you are interested in guest hosting, maybe an episode or two, and we can discuss it. I also want to make the announcement that I'm not going to do any instructing in 2018. In fact, not for the rest of 2017 and not in 2018. I am going to work on me as a shooter. I need to do that. I need to do some training. I was going to do that more this year and I didn't. So I am dedicating the rest of 2017 and 2018 to taking a lot of classes and getting better as a shooter and better at what I do. And then I can podcast about it, do videos and things like that. So I would say Ben is probably going to be out on the road teaching in 2018, and I will be a student out on the road in 2018, and like I said, for the rest of 2017. Okay, I think that's about all that I wanted to talk about. I hope that you choose to support this program in the month of September. As I've mentioned, all the proceeds that I earn from the podcast, whether it be through the Amazon store or the Shooters Club, you'll be helping out the Hurricane Harvey victims, because I'm going to give it all away to the Hurricane Harvey victims. There's a couple of really good causes and good charities that I know do a real good job of making sure the money gets to the relief efforts. And I'll be talking about those a little bit later. So anything that you do to support this podcast is going to be helping the people recover from Hurricane Harvey. With all that said, thanks for listening to another episode. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Please remember to read your Bible every day. And also remember, the internet gives everyone a voice, but it doesn't give everyone a brain. I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.